From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
I'm letting myself be transported away from the winter scene outside my window, burying my nose not in the snow, but instead in the spring into summer possibilities depicted in seed catalog pages. I have familiar favorite varieties I grow every year, but I'm also looking for some new-to-me possibilities, and today's guest, Lane Selman of the Culinary Breeding Network at Oregon State University, always has some delicious suggestions. More in a moment, but first, these messages.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, highmowingseeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, whiteflowerfarm.com.
Lane Selman, a professor of practice at Oregon State University, founded the Culinary Breeding Network in 2012, a collaborative community of plant breeders, seed growers, farmers, produce buyers, and chefs collaborating to improve vegetables and grains by creating, identifying, and promoting outstanding cultivars, especially organic ones. Among Lane's personal plant passions are edibles from Italian culinary traditions, including a diversity of radicchio, and I asked her back to the program today to get her suggestions for our 2026 gardens. Hi, Lane, how are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
How's that winter out there in the Pacific Northwest?
Today, thankfully, it's sunny, and that's nice, but it does mean it's colder. So.
Yeah.
It's still, right now in this moment, very lovely. I'm happy to say.
Good, good. So as a quick background, tell us what Culinary Breeding Network is, just so that a little more than what I said, just so that people have, you know, kind of an idea of what you do or one of your big activities.
Sure. So, I work at Oregon State University as a researcher, and a while back, I think you said 2012, so it was earlier than that. I've been working ever since 2005, been working with a lot of organic farmers to find varieties that perform really well on their organic farms. So the best suited varieties for them that grow well without chemical, you know, assistance in the organic, you know, microcosm, like the organic ecosystem. So, and these farmers were all often, you know, they wanted organic seed, they wanted open pollinated varieties, they had a list of things that they wanted, but also one thing they really wanted was great flavor. And so I was working with the plant breeders at Oregon State University and other universities to kind of try to find these varieties that fit. I started doing tastings to kind of get that information from, you know, just to know about varieties, because we would grow them out on the farms. We'd understand which ones grew really well, performed well, yielded well, didn't get diseases and all the problems that the farmers are trying to avoid. But then it was like, how do they taste? What do they like? And so at that point, I got a lot of chefs involved because I was also working at the farmers market here in Portland, Oregon. Asked the chefs to get together to taste these so that they could evaluate them, because I was like, who else? Who's the pro at tasting things?
Perfect, right?
Right? So these are all the chefs that also already bought from local farms, and they were already in it. They were very excited to be a part of it. And they evaluated a lot of, and it's at this point, in this moment that this kind of came about. I'm talking about roast, like red roasting peppers, which we can talk about later if you want to hear my favorite.
Yes.
Roast. And so they tasted them, and they started sharing with me the things that they really liked about them, not just the ones that had the best flavor and the best texture, which was what I was asking them, but then also like the shape and size that they needed, the straight walls, all these different things that they needed, and kind of brought me into like their world and what they do once the vegetables are grown and harvested and they have them in their hands, it's like, oh, there's all these things that they really need. And are they talking to the plant breeders and the folks that are actually making those huge decisions? And they weren't. So basically, that's when the Culinary Breeding Network started. And I said, oh, wow, this is the bridge that needs to be built, right? This is the gap that there is where the plant breeding world, which is often for a good reason in isolation because of, you know, pollen, having to keep it isolated, you know, and it's like, it's done away from a lot of people. It's a hidden thing, right? The chefs and all of us that cook are using these things in the end, right? So I wanted to be able to like bring all these folks together. So the Culinary Breeding Network is really about bringing the plant breeders, the seed growers, the farmers, the chefs, and also just consumers all together to kind of explore, evaluate. So like I'm oftentimes like working with them to evaluate new and upcoming, like in the process of the plant breeding, you know, in the plant breeding process. And I also organize big events that are open to the public so they can actually kind of get to see what this hidden world is. It's like the whispers behind the curtain, right?
Yeah. And like, it's really, I mean, for everyone's benefit, that's for sure. So,
yes.
And I'll give links with the transcript of the show over on awaytogarden.com to information about the network and some of the events and so forth. So I don't know where we want to start. And I've been beginning to look through the catalog still, but most of them are just websites with the new listings on them. I don't know where we want to start. Do we want to start with a particular group of things or any, you know, what do you think? What are you most excited about? Or what's excited about?
Yeah. I started when you asked me, I immediately went to like leafy greens. So I was like, let's talk about the leaves and things like that first. And then maybe the fruits, meaning, you know, the things with seeds.
Sure.
I mean, the first thing that came to mind always is chimichurri, which a lot of people, well, you live on the East Coast, and I feel like it's a little more popular there than on the West Coast. We always see it in grocery stores like Andy Boy, chimichurri, aka, you know, broccoli rabe. And also rapini, people call it. So we oftentimes just see it there, and that's it. Sometimes farmers, I feel like out here grow it, not a lot. I feel like there's like a really short window for harvest. So I think it's a really great thing to grow in your garden. So I always grow it and I just have it all the time. So, you know, it's not, you know, like a lot of the other brassicas that we eat that are Brassica oleraceae. This one is actually Brassica rapa. So it's in the turnip family. It has that strong, you know, turnip flavor and I really love it.
And so it figures into some dishes you like to make, some that you like to cook, I imagine.
Yeah. There's a classic dish from Puglia that is orchette con chimichurri, and sometimes it has sausage as well. So it's just, you know, a pasta where you cook and you blanch the chimichurri and then you saute it with like garlic. And you use some of the pasta water and it kind of makes it creamy and you put the orchetta in there and it just makes a really lovely, simple dish. Put a bunch of Parmesan or Pecorino on it. If you wanted to have meat with it, you could saute, you know, sausage, Italian sausage and put it in there. You could put some Calabrian chili paste or whatever, you know, mix it up a bit. But it's like a very delicious meal, I think. And I feel like a lot of times what we find in the grocery store is a little more mild than what it should be. It's like,
so the sort of we might say, if we anglicize it, broccoli rob, is that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a little milder,
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Exactly. A little more mild. And so you can get, so like Uprising Seeds has some right now. Brian and Christine are big fans of it. And I know that they're getting more from the same breeder that I work with the Radicchio stuff. Andrea in Italy has been working with him to have some more options that are available. So there will be some maybe this year, but if not in the coming years, but at least he has at least two right now. I just love growing that for myself.
Okay, good. And another leafy green, maybe with some spice or
Yes.
some taste to it.
We call it a wasabi arugula. I love this thing.
Oh.
I feel like it, I didn't, I don't know where it's called a lot of different things, but this is what I see. Like in, if you do find it at like a garden shop, it's like a plant, or you buy it seeds, it's always kind of like wasabi arugula is the name of it. It is this wild green I've seen in Sicily. It just like grows everywhere. And it's very pungent. It does taste like wasabi. It's
Ooh.
really, I just eat it raw, just by the fistful. I just love it. But you could put, yeah, you can make it into a salad. You could put it on top of pizza. It would wilt very quickly, but it's really, I let, as you can see, both these things, it's very, they're both like really strong flavors, but love them.
Well, and I think when you're going to put something, like you said, you could, put some on top of a pizza, or you're going to put it into a pasta dish. I mean, there's other flavors in there too. You might have your cheeses and so forth, and maybe tomato, and so it stands up to those. Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
exactly.
So wasabi, arugula, and uprising, is this another of their
Yes.
specialties? Okay. Uprising or
Yes, they
organic
have
seeds.
it. I've seen it, like Renee's Garden, I believe, has it. I'm sure there's in other places too. Yeah.
Okay, good. I think on your Instagram, maybe it was, I can't remember, for the Culinary Breeding Network, I think I saw an unusual kale recently. Did I? Was it unicorn or something? Was that it?
Yes, so unicorn kale is out this year, which was bred by Philip Griffiths, who's a breeder at Cornell, and Johnny's is offering it this year for the first time. And it's this really pretty kale with like very vivid green leaves, and it has bright purple stems, and it's very beautiful. It's supposed to be, I haven't actually tasted it, but it's supposed to be like kind of succulent texture, and pretty cold hardy.
And I think they say it's like you said, vivid green, and it's almost like there's almost like a yellowish cast to the green. You know what I mean? It's like not dark green, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly.
and that's purple midribs or whatever, the stems, just gorgeous, right?
It's so pretty. That's one thing that he's really into. I work on a couple of projects with him, and he's really into fun, like colors, shapes, sizes. He does a lot of like he works a lot with brassicas, but he's like there's so much to play around with in here and to mix up, so it's like really fun to see so many pretty vegetables out there.
Yeah, and I would think this one, they say it's more tender, and not so like some of the dark kales can be really
Exactly.
chewy, right? And so I would
Yes.
imagine, especially when grown to a younger age, this would be almost like a delicious salad,
Exactly. Yes. It's supposed to be very tender and nice. And a lot of people I know, I mean, like, I know they're trying to market it also as not just full kale, but like, baby kale because of that color, like the striking color difference. So it would be very pretty, like, yeah, in a salad, at all the different sizes, but it's supposed to keep that tenderness. And I said that, I'm sorry, I said it was cold hardy, but it's less cold hardy than those other, the stronger, kales that you were talking about. Sorry.
So another one then, I suspect.
I was thinking before we get into the radicchios, of course,
Uh-oh.
I was also thinking about another strong flavor, mustards. I love mustards, and Wild Garden Seed has quite a few mustards. Dragon's Tongue is one. That
Oh,
one is
yeah.
a very purple one. It's just absolutely beautiful and delicious. There's one called Horned. And they actually just have their pungent mix. Again, of course, I really love, pungent things. So this one is like a mixture of all these different, like all of his Frank Morton's breeding material that he has
At Wild Garden Seeds,
at
yeah.
Wild Garden Seed. Yes.
Okay. So to try some of these as well. That's a good idea. I haven't
Exactly. And you can eat them,
yeah.
baby, bigger, whatever,
Right.
and when they're babies, I was up at a farm, in whatever, Incarnation, Washington, and they had a big patch of it out there. And I just was just eating it right there out of the field, and couldn't get enough of it. I was like, I don't even want to do anything with it. I just want to eat it. I think that's a good sign.
Okay.
So those are the leafy greens that I was thinking about that I really love, that I do like to make sure that I have in my, I put in my garden every year because I want them, and they're harder things to find, I feel like, out in the world when I go, because I go to a lot of farmers markets and whatnot.
Yes.
And then of course there's radicchio, which is, this is not, at this moment is not the time, when we're planting a lot of the other things, is not the time to seed it. You want to wait until like June, July to seed it. But you should buy, if you're gonna get some, buy your seeds when you buy all the other ones at the beginning of the year. And there's three new ones that we have as part of the Gusto Italiano project, that
And
uprising
that's with
seeds.
uprising.
Yes, Uprising Seeds carries them. They're actually bred and grown in Italy. They're all organic and open pollinated. And there's a new pink one. So if the people that like pink, it's fantastic. A lot of them are later season, but there's an earlier one now called Jolanda.
So it's an
So
early pink variety.
it is, yes, all pink. There's one that is all yellow now, called Yellowstone. Yes. And that one is really cool. I think it's my, like the less color there is in it, I feel like the more mild it is. And so the yellow one is, it's really small too. It's a Verona, so it's the same, it's like the same shape as like the Verona ones, which is kind of like a little teardrop shape, or sometimes it's just like oval, like if it doesn't make a little point, it's like a little shape. Very cute, and it's so nice because you can just like cut the bottom off and just kind of peel the all of the leaves off, and they're just like the perfect size. They're a little bit like Belgian endive, so they make this perfect little, you can put it as a salad and use it that way, or you can put like use it for like hors d'oeuvres or something, where you put something in it and eat it just like you would like Belgian endive or something, a little hand
So
salad.
some new radicchios, okay.
Yes, so I love that one. And then Banda Rosa is a new one in that project too, the Gusto Italiano project, which is the Verona shape. It's purple, but the midrib, instead of being all white, has like a red or hot pink like stripe on it, and it's very beautiful. So all three of these are new this past year. They're just gaining traction though, and they're all like very pretty, very striking.
And I'll give some, again, a link to some previous conversation we've had about growing radicchio and so forth for people who don't know, over with
Thank you.
the transcript of this show over on awaytogarden.com.
Great. Thank you.
So, okay, so we've got some leafy, 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 leafy
I know.
greens.
Well, and then so then we can talk about herbs if you want to just finish up leaves with herbs, because I
Sure.
grow a lot of those.
Right, because we all know the usual things, but.
Yeah, and I feel like I kind of was doing this already, but then I went over to someone's house to eat when I was traveling, and I was in Oakland. And there's a friend of mine that used to own a restaurant in Oakland, and his use of herbs, they grow tons of herbs also in their backyard. And it was like, wow, this is great. It's just, I feel like it really like kicks it up a notch. I'm a person that like makes very simple food. I like use very good products. I'm going to use like, great, vegetables. I'm going to roast them the right way, but nothing fussy in the least. But I really like to have like make sauces, and then have like a lot of like, chili crisp or like crunchy things to put on top, a lot of seeds to put on top. But herbs also does the trick with this too. It just like takes it to the next level, I feel like. So I always have, this comes with a lot of different names, but Mexican tarragon. Or like sometimes they call it mint marigold. It is in the marigold family. It's not related to tarragon itself. Has pretty little yellow flowers. That one, I'm always growing. Love it. I'm gonna get around to talking about other seed companies, but this one is available from Uprising. I do know that also Johnny's has it. Those two
Yeah, a
places I
number of people
know.
have it. Definitely the
Yes.
Mexican tarragon, totally.
Exactly. Okay, great. Sculpit is another one that I love. It also goes by the name of Carletti. This is something that I've had in Italy, and it kind of tastes like a mixture of actual French tarragon and like oregano maybe together. It has very beautiful little flowers, and it makes like a little balloon kind of thing. Also, and a lot of times people like florists use it because it just, the blooms are so pretty.
Yes.
It is. really tasty. And I actually had it where it just kind of grows wild in northern Italy. And so when I'm there doing the work on radicchio, like I was there with a farmer, another farmer named Andrea. There's like a lot of farmers named Andrea. And he just went out and just like, just picked it from the field because it just grows wild there. And his sister made us a very simple risotto with this, and they call it Carletti. And it was the best risotto I've ever had, I think, because that herb is just delicious. So ever since then, I've grown it again, and it looks really beautiful. It's very beautiful in the garden and tastes great.
And then I think you have a parsley that I'd never heard of that you mentioned to me the other day when we were emailing and so forth,
Yes.
which I think Experimental Farm Network has, a Hungarian land-raised parsley. What's distinctive
Yes.
about this one, real quick?
So this one tastes great. It just, I don't know how really how to describe it, but it tastes different and superior to other parsleys. This was something that Wild Garden Seed, Frank Morton, was working with and got the seed originally from the USDA GRIN database. And
Yes.
he had seeds from Hungary, and he got seeds from a lot of different countries, and he grew them all out. And he was just going to create like a new like flat leaf parsley from it. But they found that they tasted distinctly different from one another, all these parsleys from different countries. And so this was one that he kept. And said, okay, this one's really great. Let's keep it separate so that we can kind of, he just liked the way that it grew. He was looking for something that overwintered and didn't bolt like when transplanted. And he liked the flavor of it. And we had some chefs work with us on this too. So this is one that he kept from that project.
So we have maybe 5 minutes, and I don't want to run out of
Oh,
time, but I
yeah.
know we both share this sort of like amazement slash admiration for the collection of cucumbers and cousins of
Yes.
cucumbers by Jay Tracy at the
Yes.
Cucumber Shop, an online seed catalog. Are there a couple of those that you want to kind of highlight? Because I mean, we all know what we think a cucumber is, but there's an incredible diversity
I
of
know.
relatives.
Yes. So very excited about the cucumber. These are cucumber melons because they're actually immature melons rather than the cucumber species. They are
So
so
it's Cucumis milo,
melon.
melo,
Yes,
mellow,
exactly.
as opposed
And
to sativus, the species
exactly,
sativus, which
yes.
is the cucumber that we know.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so very confusingly, Armenian cucumbers are these immature melons, even though they don't look immature. They look just like cucumbers, but they
or
in this.
longer.
Yes. They are in this family as well as Carosello. And so I've been working on some trials too with Cornell on these as well. But the cucumber shop, Jay Tracy there has like a huge collection of them. And I love these. I feel that they have like a little more like mild and taste like a little more mild flavor than the cucumbers. I like the texture a lot. You can use them just interchangeably though with cucumbers, however you use those. But they have a very nice kind of sm like smooth texture, if that makes
Yes.
sense.
Yes.
So I'm loving those. Again, a little bit hard to find, so it's nice to grow them yourself.
Right. And he has such an incredible collection. It's so
Oh,
fun. I mean, he's a keen
yes.
enthusiast who's made this wonderful
I know.
project,
I love it.
catalog. Yeah, it's great. And they come in, they're like, some of them are different shapes and some of them are more like sort of spotted and some,
Exactly. And
yeah,
the
it's like,
Carosello is tiny. It's more like a tiny melon. It's like oval, and it's very, it's very small size. Those things, the texture is just unbelievable. And just put them, in a cucumber salad. You could put them with tomatoes, with onion, just something very simple, and just delightful to eat.
So, speaking of melon, the word melon, you also, I think, told me about a melon seed that you were attracted to, you were interested in from Johnny's, I think,
Yes.
melonade or
It's
melonade
called
or
Melonade.
melonade
And
instead of lemonade.
Melonade,
Okay,
yes, it's
melonade.
like, and it's a sweet and sour, they call it,
Oh.
melon. It was bred by a man named Jason Cavatorta in Florida. And we had this at one of the events that I organize, and it was really cool because it wasn't just like very, very sweet. It had this really nice balance of like sweet and sour together. So it might sound a little bit weird, but it was fantastic. And the chef made it into kind of like a Thai salad. So had like think like fish sauce and like shallots and hot peppers. And it was absolutely delicious. And it was such an interesting and different melon that I've ever, but you could just eat it but plain, you know, you could just eat
I'll
it
have to look
as
up
you
that
would.
one. That's
But I think
interesting.
it's definitely worth looking into and like growing it and seeing what you think about it, because I've wondered if it's going to become like a whole new category in itself in our melt with our melons.
So with our last like 2 minutes or so, do you want to just give us a quick like shout out some peppers? Because I know that's another thing
Yes,
you
thank you.
love. And
Thank you. So I'll just say we talked about the sweet pepper tasting that I did that kind of started the Culinary Network. That one, that was the winner with all the chefs there and in our field trials was Stocky Red Roaster. This was bred by Frank Morton at Wild Garden Seed. It was a lot of different places that you can find that Stocky Red Roaster. It's wonderful for roasting. It has really thick, straight walls, very meaty. It's great for roasting and preserving in olive oil. I use it all the time to make romesco. You can just eat them. You can eat them raw. You can do, you know, saute them, anything with them. They're really high yielding. They don't lodge. Was so impressed with this pepper when we grew it.
Okay, Stocky Red Roaster. Well, Lane, we're out of time, but those sound pretty fun too. I'm going to give links to everything, of course, with the
Thank you
transcript.
so much.
And I hope I'm going to speak to you soon again.
Thank you.
And I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com and on Facebook and on Instagram as at awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
Underwriting support for A Way to Garden provided by Color Blends Wholesale Flower Bulbs, a third-generation bulb company offering top-size flower bulbs directly to landscape professionals and ambitious residential gardeners on the web, colorblends.com. And by High Mowing Seeds, Wolcott, Vermont, professional quality vegetable, flower, and herbal seeds that are 100% organic and non-GMO project verified. On the web, HighMowingSeeds.com. And by White Flower Farm, offering a wide range of carefully selected and expertly grown garden plants. On the web, WhiteFlowerFarm.com.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of AwayToGarden.com and RobinHoodRadio.com.